Time to separate what is true from what is total BS on Fact or Fiction.
Choose wisely.
Here's Adam the Bull.
All right, it's Fact or Fiction time. Here we go. Anthony's going to come in with some Fact or Fiction questions and comments. And I'll tell you whether they're fact or fiction. Before we do that, I want to remind you that CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all at geico.com. Anthony, go ahead.
So John Gruden's second stint as head coach of the Oakland Raiders is off to a rough start, and it sounds like he has quickly lost the trust of many of his players. Gruden has already traded two of Oakland's core players in Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. According to a report, the way Gruden handled the trades has some players questioning the coach's accountability. Gruden said publicly that he was not entertaining trade offers for Cooper, and he was apparently telling the team the same in private. Clearly, Gruden is rebuilding with his eyes set on the move to Vegas. Fact or fiction, Gruden is executing a smart plan.
No, that's fiction. Now, they have acquired a lot of draft picks. They have three first-round picks next year and two the year after that. But the plan is not a good one. When you hit on first-round picks, you don't move them all. Now, Amari Cooper's been up and down, so you can maybe make the argument. The Khalil Mack thing made no sense to me. The way he's handled it, he trades Khalil Mack, and then he says we need a pass rush. I mean, it's all backward. Right now, John Gruden is essentially the GM, the head coach, and the offensive coordinator. I said when John Gruden went back to Oakland, first of all, they signed him to a 10-year contract, which was absurd. They paid him $10 million a year, which was absurd. I thought this would be a disaster. So far, it's been a horrendous disaster. How would you have any faith that John Gruden will pick the right players in the draft? So they may have a million picks, but I bet you they waste a lot of them. This is going to be a complete mess. Who knows? Listen, if John Gruden gets all these picks right, then they will turn it around, and maybe in a few years they'll be good. For now, they're terrible. They're getting worse. They'll probably trade Derek Carr as well, but I don't think he's getting it right. No, I think Gruden's a disaster. The fact in the first year, all the players are sick of him. Not all, but a lot of guys are probably sick of him already. Not good. Not good for team morale.
All right, you asked John McClain this, so I'll pose this question to you now. Jason Garrett said on Tuesday that he sees big things on the horizon for Amari Cooper. The Cowboys, of course, acquired Cooper on Monday for a first-round draft pick in the 2019 draft. Cooper only has 22 receptions for 280 yards and one touchdown on the season. Garrett pointed out on Tuesday that Cooper's lack of production can be a symptom of the environment. Fact or fiction, Cooper is worth the first-round pick.
He could be. I would not have given up a first-round pick for him now. So right now I'd say no, but I do think it's possible that he could end up being worth it. He is very talented, no doubt about it. He's a big guy. But you look at Amari Cooper, and again, there's other factors besides him. But if you look, this is his fourth year in the NFL. He has played 52 NFL games. In his first 24 NFL games, he had nine 100-yard games, nine 100-yard receiving games in his first 24. So that's more than one every three. Since then, in the 28 games he has played since then, the 24th game was October 30th, 2016. In the 2 years since then, and the 28 games he has played since then, he has only had three 100-yard games. So nine in his first 24 and only three in his last 28. And think about this. He has only had 70 yards. 70. Five times in his last 28 games. 70 yards, five times in his last 28 games. That's bad. Meanwhile, he's had 10 games that were under 22 yards or less. 10. Not good.
According to ESPN's Chris Mortensen, Jacksonville has no plans to add a quarterback before Tuesday's trade deadline. Instead, the team is more focused on teaming up the recently acquired Carlos Hyde with injured running back Leonard Fournette to field an elite rushing attack. Fact or fiction, the Jaguars should trade for a quarterback.
That is a fact, but the only quarterback they should trade for is Derek Carr. And if they can't get Derek Carr, then they should not. Who else would you get? Eli Manning? That would be a waste. Tyrod Taylor? That would be a waste. The Jaguars, if they're going to trade for a quarterback, I believe need to trade for a quarterback that is a potential long-term solution, not a stopgap. If you traded for Eli Manning, you traded for Tyrod Taylor, are the Jaguars winning a Super Bowl with either of those guys this year? Of course not. Are they winning a Super Bowl with Derek Carr this year? Probably not. But could they in the future if their defense gets back to what it was last year and if Leonard Fournette could stay healthy? Sure, I think they could with Derek Carr in the next couple of years if those things happen. So unless it's Derek Carr, you got anybody else you want to throw at me? Any other quarterbacks you're thinking of? Did I mention the names?
Well, you mentioned one that's been talked about, again, Eli, but I don't see that.
Eli makes no sense. Tyrod Taylor makes no sense. So if you're saying Derek Carr, I would do it if I'm Jacksonville. Anybody else? And it has nothing to do with Blake Bortles. He stinks. He's terrible. And Tyrod Taylor, you know, is a serviceable starter, but you're not winning a Super Bowl with Tyrod Taylor. So what's the point?
So Green Bay, as we've talked about, will face its toughest battle yet when it visits Los Angeles here in Week 8. And the Westgate Las Vegas Superbook on Monday opened the Packers as an 8.5-point underdog ahead of Sunday's game. The line is the largest total by which Aaron Rodgers has been an underdog in his 14-year career. The last time Green Bay faced such tough odds was when the Packers were 8-point underdogs to the Seahawks back in 2014. Fact or fiction, Bull, the Packers Super Bowl window has closed.
That is fiction, although it's only fiction because of Aaron Rodgers. Listen, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football, okay? In my opinion, he's better than Tom Brady. He's better than Drew Brees, better than them all. He is the guy, the best guy. It's hard to be better than Drew Brees and Tom Brady. They're all super elites and Hall of Famers. But Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football, especially if you factor in age. So as long as Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback of Green Bay, they will have a chance to win a Super Bowl. The problem is that that team is drafted poorly, and in my opinion, their coach is not very good. He has survived thanks to Aaron Rodgers. They don't have a great running game, and it's misused because Aaron Jones is their best talent at running back, and they don't use him very much. Their wide receiving core is young and unproven outside of Adams, who's good, really good, and Randall Cobb, who's seen his better day. They've got issues everywhere else. Their defense has been bad. It's been a huge problem, and they haven't done a good job addressing it. When they've drafted quarterback defensive players, they haven't drafted the right guys. Most of them have been busts or misused. Their defense hasn't been terrible this year, but for the most part, for the past, you know, decade, or since they won the Super Bowl, and the year they won the Super Bowl, their defense was really good. Since then, they've been mostly average at best and mostly really bad defenses and mostly bad running games. So Aaron Rodgers is great. He can do a lot. They've made the playoffs almost every year, and they win most of the game. You know, they win a good percentage of the games he plays, but he can't do it all. But no, I can't say their window is closed as long as he's there.
The Houston Rockets are reportedly making a rather aggressive push to acquire Jimmy Butler from the Timberwolves, but it sounds like what they are offering is still not enough. On Thursday, it was reported that the Rockets have offered a package that includes 4 first-round picks for Butler. While that may sound like a lot, Minnesota supposedly is not excited about it. Fact or fiction, the Wolves should accept the Rockets' offer.
Well, I don't know what else they're being offered, but without knowing any other offers, I'd say yes. I mean, how else are you going to... Listen, Jimmy Butler doesn't want to stay in Minnesota. And you would say, well, again, I would have to know what else is being offered. Like, I'm going to take that back. I'm going to say, no, fiction. They should not accept the offer. They should go to teams like Boston and Philly that have some good young players and try to get one of their already proven young players, as well as some draft picks. Houston doesn't have a good young player to trade them. The draft picks, you know, you can't trade a draft pick every year, so I would assume it would have to be their first-round pick in 19, 21, 23, and 25. You have a good young team now in Minnesota, so you don't want to wait. 23 and 25 picks is so long down the road. The 19 draft pick is useless because the Rockets, it's going to be a bottom five pick. And the 21 draft pick, even, if you want to say that with these guys that they have, even that pick is likely to be a bottom 10 pick. So by the time you get the picks that are valuable in 23 and 25, potentially, that young core is done. So, no, I don't think it makes sense. The more I think about it, I'd be looking at Philly or Boston and looking to trade him there. I've heard some people say Phoenix, but if you're Phoenix, why would you trade a good young player for Jimmy Butler when you know he's not going to stay there? It has to be, you have to trade him to a team that has good young players and is also good in a place he might stay. So that's why Philly and Boston make sense.
All right, and finally, Bo, could Halloween no longer be on October the 31st?
Whoa.
Well, that's the hope of a group called the Halloween and Costume Association, which started a change.org petition to move the holiday to the last Saturday of October. Quote, it's a time for a safer, longer, stress-free celebration. Let's move Halloween to the last Saturday of October. The group, also known as the Halloween Industry Association, states on the online petition. So, fact or fiction, Bull, Halloween should be moved to the last Saturday of October.
No, that's fiction. That is a stupid, stupid idea. I thought maybe they'd say, like, let's move it to August so it wouldn't be freezing cold when the kids go trick-or-treating in most of the country. I could maybe, you know, listen to something like that. But if you're going to keep it in the end of October anyway, why does it have to be on a September? By the way, you in any town you live in, or as a town, some towns decide. I know my buddy lives, in a town where they do trick-or-treating on Saturday, even though it's not actually Halloween. So you can do that if you want. You don't have to move the holiday. It's always, I like the tradition of it, and keep it the same. Don't mess with Halloween. Come on now. That's a bad job out of those people.
Now you know what's true and what's total BS.